Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online for Wednesday, October 25th, 2006. The only October 25th, 2006 in the history of humanity. Let us continue to make it a great one. That is what we choose to do on this webcast, on this particular Wednesday night. Welcome in for all you folks, wherever you are listening and logging on from around the world. And, of course, on this Glenn Klein Online Wednesday Fest, we want to welcome in the very talented and handsome Mr. Michael Williams. Michael, how are you this evening?
There you go. Trying to make my day good again, Glenn. Hi, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Well, that's kind of what I do, you know. I just try to uplift people. It don't always work.
Well, it doesn't always, but, you know, all you can do is your best, right?
That is a general precept that I have lived by, and you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it don't.
That's right.
Well, we're glad to have everyone, as we said, from around the globe logging in this evening to talk about this thing called the gospel. And it's a very interesting thing, Michael, that the mainstream media or popular culture calls something gospel, the gospel truth, as if it were a different word than what the original word meant. And the gospel actually means something when it's referred to as the gospel in the Bible. There's an actual translation, isn't there?
Yes, there is. And you're right. They say the gospel truth means, when they are saying it, it means it's fact. But the gospel truth is that it's the good news.
Exactly. And there's really no bad news in the good news. And this is what we focus on, ladies and gentlemen, at the Gospel Revolution and gospelrevolution.com. We are going to be taking your questions regarding all issues of spirituality and this gospel and different doctrines. But we want to encourage you right now to get online and email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And when you do send us your emails, please make them concise and also let us know where you're listening from. Well, let's just dive in head first, huh, Mikey?
Sounds good to me, Glenn.
Got a question from John in Claremore, Oklahoma, and he wants to know, Michael, what do you think about the doctrine of the Trinity?
Well, of course, we've heard a lot about it. I have friends that you know, there's probably several lines of thinking about it, and of course, the term Trinity is not something that shows up in, you know, a scriptural text. But the doctrine, of course, is that the Trinity of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I was raised to believe that the Trinity, that these all three were separate persons or separate expressions or persons of God, and yet all one. The deepest that I can get, now I also have encountered other people who believe that the oneness of God, that God is just one, and that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are somehow separate from that, and that but they are not God. The Trinity, to me, the only definition that I can find is Paul's definition. It says that these three agree. So for me to try to define the actual spiritual chemistry, if you will, of the Trinity, I can't. I find it for myself unnecessary to delineate between those different doctrines, except for this to be the place where that I rest with the Trinity and that these three agree. Paul did refer to them as three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and also he mentioned the word, actually. And but he said these three are one. They are one in the fact that they all agree. Which brings us really to a lot of substance about the activity of the Holy Spirit, about conviction, which we've covered a great deal. It's actually an excellent question, especially when we start dealing with the Holy Spirit pointing out people's faults.
Right.
Well, it's impossible that the Holy Spirit would be pointing out people's faults when Jesus said that he would, in his being the mediator between God and man, that he would never bring a fault before God. He said you have one that accuses you, even Moses. So for people to believe that the Holy Spirit's going around shining a light on your faults, actually what Paul said was that he was here to reveal the three things, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. But in the context of that, it's amazing how we focus on the sin part. But sin was what the Holy Spirit came to reveal through the revelation of the law and of righteousness. He said, "Because I go to the Father," and of judgment, because the prince of this world has been judged. So the only judgment that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are involved in is one that's already taken place. That's the most poignant thing that I can point out to you about Paul's teaching, anyway, about the Trinity.
Let me get back. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And actually, you know, and of course, no one would be surprised that I would expand that. But I actually believe in something other than the Trinity. I believe in the quad-unity of God.
What is that? The quad-unity?
Yes.
Did you develop that theory by doing squats in the gym?
you know, well, the quad-unity of God is the four, not the Trinity, but the quad-unity. These three are one. The amazing thing about it is that whatever relationship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have, Jesus prayed, "Father, I pray that they may be one with us, even as we are one."
So they're one, that's for sure.
Yes, so they are one, and the Holy Spirit is not separate from that, and they are one in agreement. And so into whatever capacity that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one, I also believe that we are equally one with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And in the revelation of the work of the cross, I'd have to say if I was going to preach something, I wouldn't preach the Trinity. I would think I'd be teaching and preaching the quad-unity of God, that we have become one with God and in absolute agreement with him. The only disagreement that man has with God is in his head. There is no disagreement.
In man's head, you mean?
Yes, in man's head. There is no disagreement in actual participation of God in the unity, in his unity with man, because he accomplished it through the work of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the cross, through the Father's will, superseded our will, and integrated us into the body of Christ and made us one with the Father. And so it really is. I think we should be teaching on the quad-unity of God rather than the Trinity.
Well, and it also brings up another point, and I want to get back to the Holy Spirit because we've got a good question that came in regarding the Holy Spirit. But some of these issues really kind of skirt the major issue. And whether Jesus is God or not, and we believe he is, as Mike just explained, it doesn't change the message of the gospel. The gospel is still either Christ died for the sin of the whole world or he didn't.
Yes, and that's the thing, is that in the revelation of the gospel, that the amazing thing is, just like my friends who take the position that there's only one God and Jesus is not God, which I've had long discussions with them, and they give me all of their material and everything and to read. But there seems to be a real contentious thing there about that. I as long as these views of and definitions of the Trinity do not translate into self-righteousness, I have no problem with what anyone might believe.
Right.
Yeah, you know, like what you very aptly pointed out, our issue is with the result of the work of the cross and of Christ and the will of God and the Holy Spirit. I really am not too disturbed that I can't figure this out to its precise exact what it is. You know, I'm not concerned about it because again, the issue is the outcome, and the outcome I think makes a lot of these things fairly irrelevant. It doesn't mean that someone's not going to get intrigued and want to just study the daylights out of it.
Right.
And if they do, you know, let us know what you come up with. I mean, it's these are things that you know, that are going to interest people for a long way. I just hope that nothing ever supersedes the incredible revelation of the completed work of the cross.
Amen. Paul asks this question, Michael. He says, so if the Holy Spirit is living in all people, and the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth, why do so few people know the truth?
Well, I think that's because they got information coming from other sources other than the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, I believe, is the great teacher. And we as human beings, God is not, and see, this is where the issue of free will comes into play. And this is where that I know that our free will, our choice to think and believe the way that we choose, is completely all right with God. Now, it doesn't make it all right for our lives, but the way that we choose to think and choose to believe is not an issue for God, because God has settled the issue for man with himself. Now, we, of course, believe that as people embrace the gospel, that is the point when that we begin to set our feet on the path of reconciling with others and with and being able to embrace other people, to embrace other views, other doctrines, whether somebody believes Jesus is the Son of God, not the Son of God. It is the completed work. But these will not, under the revelation of the work of the cross, will not be contentious issues. They just cannot be. They don't become points where that we draw the line and stop. So the issue of people learning, I ask myself, you know, why didn't I understand this? And I, you know, for the most part, I am at a loss for understanding why I had to take the path that I did. But I believe that that is a part of the ongoing of creation, actually. I'm of the persuasion that the process of creation has never really stopped, and that the human race is still in that process, which is to lead us to a full understanding. You know, why didn't the disciples know about it? You know, they actually walked and talked with Jesus. They witnessed his miracles, and yet they were not believers. They all turned and went their own way.
Right.
They were filled with doubt.
I mean, there's a level of mystery in all this, of course. And clearly, when Christ walked the earth, even after he was resurrected, he was, from time to time, hiding his reality to the people that were in his life. And
yes, absolutely, and he did it for a reason. And but the as far as on this side of the cross, you know, I think that common denominator is ever present and relevant and revealing itself to all of us. However, if we choose to buy into a self-righteous understanding of God's view of us. And again, let me point out that I do not believe that it is important that we get our view of God accurate, because I don't think there is any way that we can possibly get our view of God accurate. We are human beings, for God's sake. And to say, and this is where the self-righteousness of religion comes in, is that my view of God is right and yours is wrong.
Yes.
This is the fundamental difference between the gospel that we preach, which I believe is the gospel, and what other creative versions of Christianity have come along, is that they actually are trying to teach you what to think about God. I'm not doing that. I am trying to teach people what God thinks about them. Because the power that operates in the revelation of the gospel is not that you figured God out and what he thinks or what you think about God. Because it's just like we were talking about this situation about the Trinity. There's going to be people who have different views about this for as long as the planet exists. But in the Trinity, whatever it is, whether it is 3 and 1, 1 minus 2, or a quad unity, as I've now introduced another mix into this, the overriding position that we take is that we're not trying to tell people what to believe about God. We are trying to tell people what God believes about them because of the work of the cross.
That's awesome. This is Glenn Klein online. We're taking questions tonight from you. We're talking with Michael Williams of the Gospel Revolution. And you can email us your questions, and please feel free to do that. Please make them concise, and just send them to webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And please include where you are writing from and where you are logged in from. And it's kind of encouraging, Michael, when we have many from around the world tonight, including Adam here, who says that he thinks of you often. He says, his new wife and I constantly thank God for the freedom that you brought us when they listened to you in Bangor, North Ireland. And he said it must be about 9 years ago.
Oh, my gosh, Adam, so nice to hear from you.
Yeah,
what a flashback.
And so we're getting questions, as I said, from all over the planet, and this is a lot of fun. And feel free, ladies and gentlemen, to jump on board at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, webcast@gospelrevolution.com, with any question about any topic, and we're going to try to deal with as many as we can this evening on this edition of Glenn Klein Online. Michael, the state of New Jersey Supreme Court today basically ruled that gay and lesbian people have the same rights constitutionally as straight people to marry. They've sent it back to their legislature to define exactly what those rights are. But we get pretty consistently questions about homosexuality. Here's a fairly typical one from Betty and Paul. They write that they think that homosexuality is not God's intent for mankind. They say, I do understand that there are many afflicted with this quote-unquote malady, and my heart goes out to them because I know many of them are good people. My question is this, they ask. Does Mike Williams Media, including yours truly, Glenn Klein, promote homosexuality as an accepted way of life, or does Mike Williams Media teach, because the law has been done away with, that homosexuality is just like, quote, any other sin, and although it's not a good thing, it is covered by the blood? I don't understand where Mike and his ministry stand on this issue. So where do you stand on this issue, Michael?
Well, it's the thing of it is the gospel makes it a non-issue. And that's what we keep trying to say over and over again, that people who obviously have issue with issues instead of the gospel, who have judgment and guilt, and who want to categorize people in areas based on law. If we're going to use the law as law, let's make sure that people who eat shellfish are left out. Let's make sure women during their cycle are made sure that they're banned for 10 days. The list just goes on and on. This is the thing. It is irrelevant whether I give a condonement or not to any issue whatsoever. This is the thing. And this is where self-righteousness steps in and tries to exclude people. The thing that we're saying is that the gay person, the straight person, it doesn't make any difference who they are or what they are. We are not out to try to apply a moral standard to affirm righteousness.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that many of these things, you mentioned eating shellfish or having sexual relations with your wife while she's menstruating or eating pork. All these things are different kind of sexual acts. All these things can be categorized under the same thing, which they may or may not be beneficial for you. But if you're going to say that one thing that is listed in the Old Testament under the law disqualifies you or somehow a malady, then you've got to call everything else a malady too, in order, in my humble opinion, to be consistent.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially and including judging someone else, because the law was never given. If the law is going to be applied, then this is for the people who wrote in to ask this question. If you're going to apply the law, which they seem to be doing, then they need to apply it to themselves. They just broke the law by trying to apply it to someone else.
Right.
Because the law was never given for me to measure your righteousness. It was only given for me to measure mine. And I can tell you that I do not measure my righteousness, nor the ones who have the question. I do not measure their righteousness by their deeds, because they, along with the homosexual, along with anyone who lies on their taxes or anything else, who is deceptive in any way, who basically is human, they're all condemned. And the power of the righteousness of the cross is that we begin to work with things not based on what is someone's view or opinion. The opinion is, if we're going to take God's opinion, is that we're all condemned under the law.
Right.
And from there, this becomes a different issue.
But we're also dealing with a popular culture that has elevated homosexual behavior, obviously way beyond eating crab and lobster. Here's a question, Michael. The subject is desperate in Louisiana. This is from James in Louisiana. And he says he's a gay man who believes in Jesus Christ. But those around him say that being a gay person and a Christian or believer in Christ cannot coexist. After many years of hiding who I am and how I feel sexually towards the same sex, I realized finally that I cannot deny it. I believe in Jesus and that he paid for all my sins, past, present, and future, but those around me disagree vehemently. This is the problem. It's the people that are in people's lives like this. He says he feels so condemned. They tell me because I choose to continue this lifestyle that I have no promise of God's kingdom, that it's unnatural, and he said it may be unnatural, but it's how he feels, and he can't turn the feelings off. Sometimes he doesn't know if he's coming or going in the midst of this religious confusion. Is it okay to be gay, and will God accept me for who I am? He says, help me. And, you know, I think we've answered the question, James. But, Michael, I think it speaks also to the heightened sense of confusion and condemnation that gay and lesbian people feel, because people are so freaked out about their own sexuality that they highlight this one so-called sin when it is just lumped in, and by the way, it's hardly mentioned at all in the Old Testament compared to like eating unclean animals, for example. And people are crying out really every week for an answer. And the most amazing thing to me is that you've got these so-called gay churches or gay-friendly churches that are preaching a similar condemning message against people who don't believe in Christ or people who say that they're condemned because they're gay. That those people aren't going to heaven. that they're condemned. And it's FUBAR is what it is. It's a mess. And this is a voice of clarity, ladies and gentlemen, that we're trying to bring to that this issue just by itself, of course, but the whole issue. And earlier, Michael, you said that the argument is how people that my view of God is better. Well, obviously, people are going to have differing views of God. The question isn't the way we see God or the way that God sees us necessarily. It's the fact that regardless of how one sees the Trinity or the issue of homosexuality or whatever, that God does not see those people any differently from anybody else, regardless of how they disagree on these particular issues.
Oh, absolutely, and the church is so double-minded about it. You know, they would stand on any other subject, and it depends on church to church. I mean, in some places you can't be divorced and be in the ministry. You can't. There's the list just goes on and on. If you cut your hair, you can't be in Christ because there's definite verses about cutting your hair.
Well, and then they have these messages about body piercings. And when they mention body piercings, they don't mention that it's not okay to pierce your ears, because at least half their congregants who are giving money into the till have their ears pierced.
Yeah, so it really does become this. And let me say to James, dear brother, your being gay and being a believer is quite conducive, because all it is saying, James, is that you are a human and you're a believer. And that's what humans, this gift from God is that humans get the opportunity and the magnificent ability gifted to them to be able to believe in the magnificent work of the cross. James, don't let any voice, no matter how many they are around you, during the Holocaust, believe me, there was all the voices around the Jewish people would make them feel that they were in the wrong. Just because every voice around you condemns you does not mean it's right.
That is tremendous stuff right there, ladies and gentlemen. That's exactly right. Just because a majority of people have an opinion at any given time doesn't mean that is right.
No, in fact, you can go pretty well, Glenn, with history and say if the majority disagrees with it, it's probably wrong.
Exactly. And frankly, that was one of my concerns, and still some of my concerns that I do agree with the so-called Christian right on, is that if they were so wrong on so many of these other things throughout history, like slavery, like women's suffrage, in my opinion, like gay rights, how much more might they be wrong about some other things that I do agree with? And I think at the very least, one needs to be introspective on and not be knee-jerk in their response to any given issue. And when you couch it, Michael, with the gospel, it changes everything.
It absolutely does. And this is the thing, is that we are not here to try to, of course, a lot of people have said to me, well, the reason you're teaching this is to justify yourself in the fact that you are a gay man. This is the fact. If I wanted to justify myself, that is in my former belief system. Because self-justification runs rampant. Because all I have to do is go confess my sin again and again and again, constantly re-up, re-ante, redo everything, and then I'm quite all right again. Believe me, it is not in the gospel and the revelation of righteousness where people come to hide. It is where people come to be real. It is within the walls of self-righteousness that people go to hide, to become pedophiles, to be able to reach out. And I mean, goodness gracious, I mean, we all know that the biggest scams that's ever been run financially have been run within the church. And that's where people go to hide. The gospel shines the light on everything and everyone, but the light is not there to expose your fault. The light is there to reveal your righteousness. And that our dear friend James, nor the Pope, nor any of the rest of us, the light of the gospel is there to reveal we are all equal We are all holy. We are all righteous by the power of the work of the cross.
Amen. Excuse me. All right, you beautiful humans. Obviously, we've had some technical difficulties this evening, and we hope you got something out of the archive version of the abbreviation of the Glenn Klein Online webcast this evening. And we are going to try to do it all over again Wednesday night, November 1st, 2006. Be here 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and we will talk to you then. Shalom, everybody.